In the spring of 1865, Abraham Lincoln stood at the White House window, gazing at a transformed nation. 4 years earlier, he had entered office facing 7 seceded states and a country on the brink of dissolution. Now, as victory approached, his thoughts turned to reconciliation, with malice toward none, with charity for all. What made this self-educated man America's most revered leader? Lincoln's genius wasn't just in preserving the Union through military might, but in how he led, through personal connection, moral clarity, and balancing opposing forces. His leadership wasn't theoretical. It was forged in America's deadliest conflict, where his decisions determined whether the nation would survive. Nearly 160 years later, his principles remain so powerful that Harvard Business School requires his study, and CEOs consistently name him as the historical figure they'd most want to meet. Be good to one another. These simple words from Lincoln's mother became the moral compass guiding his leadership. Lincoln demonstrated extraordinary accessibility, regularly opening the White House to ordinary citizens despite the demands of war. When criticized for wasting time with common people, Lincoln replied, "They don't want much, and they get very little. Each one considers his business of great importance, and I must gratify them." This wasn't mere political calculation. Lincoln genuinely connected with people across social divides. He frequently visited troops, sharing stories and performing feats of strength to boost morale. He pardoned condemned soldiers so often that military leaders complained it undermined discipline, yet Lincoln remained firm. "It breaks my heart to have these poor boys shot." This compassion extended even to Confederate families. He welcomed his Confederate sister-in-law to the White House despite criticism. Lincoln's people-first approach was both compassionate and strategic. By maintaining personal connections, he gathered unfiltered information and built trust essential for leading through crisis. His balance of empathy with necessary firmness created a leadership style that inspired loyalty without sacrificing authority. Lincoln's political career demonstrates unwavering principle despite personal risk. As a freshman congressman, he challenged President Polk's Mexican-American war justification through his spot resolutions, despite being labeled unpatriotic. This moral courage extended to his response to slavery. When the Kansas-Nebraska Act effectively nullified the Missouri Compromise, Lincoln argued that slavery contradicted the declaration that all men are created equal. His House Divided speech proclaimed, "I believe this government cannot endure, permanently, half slave and half free." Even when politically advantageous to equivocate, Lincoln maintained his core moral position while navigating public opinion, eventually signing the Emancipation Proclamation, declaring, "My whole soul is in it." When Lincoln took office amid secession, his response showcased calm decision-making under extreme pressure. During the Fort Sumter crisis, despite advisors recommending surrender, Lincoln sent only supplies rather than reinforcements, forcing the Confederacy to decide whether to initiate conflict. Throughout the war, Lincoln made extraordinary decisions that tested constitutional boundaries, including suspending habeas corpus and authorizing $2 million in war materials without congressional approval. He balanced these bold actions with careful public explanation, framing emergency measures as temporary necessities to preserve the Constitution itself, combining decisive action with thoughtful justification during the nation's greatest crisis. Lincoln's remarkable leadership shone in his assembly of former rivals with enormous egos into his cabinet, including William Seward, Salmon Chase, and Edward Bates. When questioned about appointing critics, Lincoln explained, "We needed the strongest men of the party. I had no right to deprive the country of their services." This team of rivals approach brought challenges, with heated cabinet disagreements and members who initially viewed Lincoln as intellectually inferior. Yet Lincoln masterfully balanced these personalities, giving each autonomy while maintaining authority. He absorbed criticisms without resentment, often writing angry letters to release frustration, then never sending them. Lincoln's relationship with General Grant demonstrated similar wisdom, providing strategic direction while allowing tactical freedom. When critics demanded Grant's removal after heavy casualties, Lincoln stood firm. "I can't spare this man. He fights." While managing the war, Lincoln implemented an ambitious economic agenda. The Homestead Act offered 160 acres to citizens who would improve the land. The Pacific Railroad Act funded a transcontinental railroad, while the Land-Grant College Act established affordable colleges teaching practical sciences. His administration created America's first national paper currency, income tax, and national banking system. He founded the Department of Agriculture as peculiarly a people's department, serving our most valuable citizens. These reforms laid the foundation for America's industrial emergence after the Civil War, creating opportunity for average citizens while balancing government involvement with individual initiative. Lincoln's communication style blended folksy accessibility with intellectual depth. Despite limited formal education, he crafted some of history's most eloquent speeches, drawing power from clarity, authenticity, and moral purpose. The Gettysburg Address, just 272 words, delivered in under 3 minutes, transformed Americans' understanding of their nation. Lincoln reframed the Civil War from a constitutional dispute to a moral struggle for human equality, testing whether a nation conceived in liberty could endure. Lincoln excelled at storytelling, using homespun tales and self-deprecating humor to connect with audiences and illustrate complex ideas. When generals complained about Grant's drinking, Lincoln reportedly quipped, "Find out what brand of whiskey Grant drinks, because I want to send a barrel of it to each of my other generals." Beyond public speeches, Lincoln wrote compelling letters to generals explaining strategy, to grieving families offering comfort, and to critics clarifying his positions. These personal communications extended his leadership influence and built sustaining relationships through the war's darkest periods. As the war neared its end, Lincoln focused on healing the nation. His second inaugural address offered reconciliation rather than triumph, attributing the war's cost to God's purposes while pledging to move forward with malice toward none, with charity for all. He instructed his generals to treat defeated Confederates with compassion, telling Grant, "Let them all go. I want no more bloodshed." Lincoln's vision for Reconstruction emphasized practical reconciliation over punishment, proposing to readmit Southern states quickly once they accepted emancipation and established loyal governments. Though radical Republicans wanted harsher treatment of the South, Lincoln maintained that healing required magnanimity toward former enemies. Throughout the war, despite intense pressure and personal attacks, Lincoln rarely expressed bitterness or sought revenge. He famously responded to criticism by asking, "Do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends?" This capacity for forgiveness wasn't weakness, it was strategic leadership focused on reunification. Lincoln's assassination on April 14, 1865, just days after Lee's surrender, deprived America of his reconciliatory leadership during Reconstruction. Yet his example remains our most powerful model of how to lead through division toward healing, a lesson as relevant today as it was 160 years ago. In our polarized times, Lincoln reminds us that true greatness lies not in defeating opponents, but in transforming enemies into fellow citizens working toward a common future.